Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Thanks for joining us today. And
what a cloudy, damp day it is today.
It is, but we've had some sunshine, so I am grateful for that.
I know.
And warm weather.
We're going to see more yet this afternoon, too. So we'll look forward to that.
Absolutely. Well, here's what's coming up today on the show. In answering the call, do you know a Catholic man who's lukewarm about the faith? Hear about a local group specifically reaching out to men to invite them to engage more fully in their faith life and discover a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
And in No Ordinary Conversation, find out what's on Archbishop Neinstadt's summer reading list. You'll want to grab a pen and paper, jot some of these ideas down.
Plus, we'll have a primer on the Fortnight for Freedom, which begins today. We'll share the details on local events dedicated to preserving religious liberty.
But first, we're hearing from Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit, and Sarah Mealy, director of communications, both joining us by phone this morning from the Catholic Media Conference in Denver. Hello, Joe and Sarah.
Good morning.
Hi,
good
guys.
Morning.
Joe, who attends the Catholic Media Conference, first of all?
It's an annual gathering of several hundred Catholic media professionals from the United States and a few other countries. And these are journalists, bloggers, diocesan communications directors, business professionals, who come together for both educational workshops as well as picking each other's brains for new ideas and new approaches to do our work more effectively.
Now, this is kind of a combination of what used to be split up between the print media and the electronic media. Is that right?
That's right. So we've all come together now. We've been doing this for several years now. And, the theme of this conference is writing into new frontiers. And there are really two overarching themes that are running through everything here, new media and the new evangelization. And as far as new media, there's a whole digital media track looking at ways to use things like Facebook and Twitter and YouTube more effectively, but also email and text messaging and how to have them all working together to get the church's message out and help it to preach to what is essentially, in many ways, a digital world today. And Sarah, what are you seeing that ties into the theme of the new evangelization?
There's a great set of opportunities, learning opportunities on new evangelization. As Joe said, it really is a major theme. They have on Wednesday of this conference all day what they call master camps, and there's different tracks. As Joe said, there's a digital media track, and they had something called the one day guide to the new media in the new evangelization. So sort of connecting those two, and how important that is. But there's also one that I think, Joe, you went to, which was called How to Defend the Faith Without Raising Your Voice. And Catherine Lopez and Ken Daniels of Catholic Voices USA really gave this pretty hard-hitting workshop on how to really deal with the toughest questions that we get around the faith that then, sometimes get in the way of the new evangelization, and just how to deal with those kinds of objections and issues that we see as Catholics. They described it as a new apologetics for the new evangelization. And there are other new evangelization. There's a great panel discussion with some real heavy hitters. Father Tom Rosica, who is CEO of Salt and Light Television over in Canada, was facilitating a great panel of folks, including the Secretary of the Pontifical Council for Social Communications there at the Vatican, Monsignor Paul Tai, and he was terrific. Catherine Lopez, again, and Sebastian Gomez, who was actually he covered the Synod, and he was there at the during the time of the change between Pope Benedict and Pope Francis, so he had a lot of interesting things to share. But they gave some really good information and thoughts about the new evangelization and the challenges and the opportunities that we face. And then finally, I was able to talk a little bit about Rediscover. I had in the communications track talking about how Rediscover is really our response to the new evangelization and what we're doing right in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis.
Right. And I had a chance yesterday to talk with Greg Erlandson, who is president of Our Sunday Visitor Publishing, and he's also the president of the Catholic Press Association. We talked a little bit about the role of Catholic media today in this new era. And I think we have a little bit of audio from that interview here.
Greg, the theme of this conference is writing into new frontiers. In this era of new media and the new evangelization, how essential is the role of Catholic media today?
I think Catholic media is absolutely essential. Catholic media is the best form, in fact, it's the primary form of adult faith formation and adult faith information that exists for the church. And in a world in which there are so many challenges to Catholics in terms of what they believe and what the church teaches, the Catholic media is essential for getting out the church's word. And there's really no substitute for that.
Yeah. What would you like people in the pews to know about Catholic media?
Well, one is I think that they should look at it, because we do know from the statistics that Catholic readership has been declining for many publications. And I think there's a reason for that, that we live in an entertainment and information-drenched world. So we find information everywhere. We have 24-hour news cable and all these other different ways of getting some kind of general information out to people. So what happens is Catholic media is now competing against all other medias, from Xbox to CNN to Guitar Hero, you name it, all of those are our competition in a sense. But Catholic media provides an essential role of giving information about the faith you won't see anywhere else. And you can list a whole series of topics, starting with the freedom of conscience debate and moving on, where you're not going to hear about it in the most secular media.
Now, you know something about this Rediscover initiative. You're a little bit familiar with it. How did you get familiar with it, and maybe what's your impression of it from what you know?
The Rediscover initiative, we first found out about it in my role as president of Our Sunday Visitor Publishing. We have an arm called the Our Sunday Visitor Institute, which gives financial support for worthwhile endeavors around the country. And we give away about $3 million a year to various operations and organizations. And the Rediscover leaders came and put in an application to us for funding. And then in addition to that, we had other contacts. A number of people who work for Our Sunday Visitor are actually members of the Minneapolis-St. Paul Archdiocese, and so we knew about it. We made a trip earlier this year up to Minnesota during the balmy winter months to learn a little bit more about it. So we've been very impressed. I think any time that a diocese or an archdiocese tries to mobilize Catholics and to mobilize an effort that's diocesan-wide, reaching as many people as possible through as many venues as possible, you're talking about a very creative evangelizing effort. And I think kudos to the archdiocese for having the guts and the determination and the foresight to do this.
Greg Erlandson is a big name in Catholic media, Joe, and it's nice to know that he knows what's going on here.
Absolutely. He's a big fan of Rediscover. We talked a little bit more about it after that interview, and, you know, he's really fired up. And, you know, I attended that workshop that Sarah gave yesterday to people here to explain the initiative and how it works, and a lot of them were fired up for sure. Sarah, could you maybe just share a little bit about folks' interest level in it? I know a lot of people stuck around after the talk to ask you questions about it.
Yeah, we had a pretty good crowd there, and I'm glad to say people were really deeply engaged. They were very excited to hear about what we were doing. I think mainly because when we talk about concepts of the new evangelization, you know, I think the next question is, okay, well, what does that look like, and how can it be done?
So you know, did you show the app and everything and all the website?
Well, we talked about the app, and actually I should tell you, later on this morning, Ryan Krieger of Little IAPS is doing a presentation in the digital media track about the Rediscover app.
Oh, cool.
Here at the convention, so there are many people interested. But I gave a little bit of an overview of the app, but mostly just talked about the entire program and all of its elements and how it was working, what our results had been. And as Joe mentioned, I got swamped at the end of the presentation.
I bet.
With people coming up and asking more questions. And I got a big pile of business cards that were laid on the desk at the front, saying, "How can I get the presentation? How can we find out more?"
And, yeah, we're looking forward to another day here. Today's the last day of the conference. Another good slate of workshops coming up. Sort of all culminates with a banquet this evening, and we'll be heading back home and bringing. I know I've picked up quite a few ideas here for things to maybe implement with the Catholic Spirit and some other things we're working on. So it's I think it's been a real worthwhile gathering so far.
Well, in the meantime, Joe, the Catholic Spirit just came out. What's on the front page this week?
Well, we've got all kinds of things in this week's issue. We've got a couple things I'd like to maybe just point out. We've got our Rediscover feature this week is on religious vocations, and we have a great interview with a Dominican sister who's ministering in our archdiocese. We also talked to a number of youth about Zach Sobiech, just the impact that he had on their lives and faith now that they've had maybe a little more time to reflect on that. And also have a great story in there about a website that can help parents concerned about, helping their children navigate the online world. It's an effort that was partly sponsored by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, and I think it's just a real practical thing that a lot of parents would be interested in finding out about.
We live in an age where media is constantly changing. It's exciting, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Joe and Sarah, thank you so much for joining us from Denver, Colorado this morning.
Thank you.
Yep, have a great weekend.
Enjoy the mountain air.
Yeah.
You can hear Joe Towalski, editor of the Catholic Spirit, every week here on the Rediscover Hour. And, of course, you can find the Catholic Spirit online anytime at thecatholicspirit.com.
And coming up, Archbishop Neinstedt shares what's on his summer reading list. If you're looking for a good Catholic book, the Archbishop has some ideas for you.
Plus, you've heard about the Fortnight for Freedom. Find out how you can get involved in efforts to protect religious liberty.
And local Catholic high school graduates talk about how Catholic school has prepared them for life. All this and more ahead on the Rediscover Hour.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all.
Are you looking for a used car without the worry and big city dealers' hassle? Then come to Matt Sachs Chevrolet Buick in Belle Plaine, where you'll find a great selection of GM-certified pre-owned vehicles. A GM-certified pre-owned vehicle comes with the peace of mind of a 12-month, 12,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty and coverage on the engine and transmission up to 100,000 miles. Plus, you'll save thousands over new. Make the trip to Matt Sachs Chevrolet Buick in Belle Plaine and discover what many Relevant Radio listeners already have, that cars really are cheaper in the country. Find us on the web at sackchevy.com. At Matt Sachs Chevrolet Buick in Belle Plaine, you'll like our attitude.
See the USA and see it in your Chevrolet.
GM certified, no worries.
Truth begs to be taken for the next time. All faith is shaken, we find. As all things are made right in time.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. So the U.S. bishops have called for a fortnight for freedom again this year to call attention to the many current challenges to religious liberty in this country.
From U.S. Supreme Court decisions that could redefine marriage to the HHS mandate deadline, August 1st, there are many causes for concern right now.
Right. And for more on the current challenges and how you can get involved in protecting our fundamental rights of religious liberty, we're joined now by Jason Adkins, Executive Director of the Minnesota Catholic Conference. Thanks for joining us, Jason. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning. It's wonderful to be with you today.
Well,
Jason, the Supreme Court rulings on same-sex marriage, which could have grave implications for religious freedom, will almost certainly be an issue that we look at in the fortnight, right?
That's correct. That issue is one among many that has a serious potential impact on the exercise of religion and religious belief in this country. We know that religious liberty is never simply just about being able to worship as you please, but it's also about bringing your faith into all areas of life. We know that the book in the Bible called the Acts of the Apostles, it's not called the Beliefs of the Apostles.
True.
deliberate considerations of the apostles. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. And what religious liberty is really about is protecting conduct rooted in conviction. And it's performing the works of mercy, bringing our witness into the public square, and all those running businesses consistent with our conscience, all those things that are part and parcel of living the Catholic faith in its fullest. And unfortunately, there are many reasons to be concerned about the future of our first freedom today.
Can we back up for just a minute? Can you tell us all what the Minnesota Catholic Conference is and what your role is in it?
Yes, thank you. The Minnesota Catholic Conference is the public policy voice of the Catholic bishops in Minnesota. The staff of the conference implements the public policy initiatives of the Catholic bishops, and what we seek to do in the legislative and public arena is to advocate for public policies that serve human dignity and the common good.
Okay, great. And what's the reason for this Fortnight for Freedom for those that haven't heard about it or don't know?
Well, this is the second year of the Fortnight for Freedom,
right.
And I know it sounds like something that's right out of a Jane Austen novel.
It does.
The Fortnight for Freedom.
Right.
But what it's really about is a two-week period of prayer and study and action about this most important of our free constitutional freedoms, the free exercise of religion and religious liberty. And it's meant to, you know, consider the ways in which religious liberty is a blessing in this country, the ways in which the Catholic Church has thrived and flourished under a regime of religious liberty, but also looking at some of the ways in which that first freedom it has been impacted and will be impacted should certain legislative and judicial decisions keep happening that infringe on this fundamental freedom. So I think it's an initiative that's going to continue well into the future. And I think it's safe to say that the protection of religious liberty, both in the United States and globally, is probably becoming the number one public policy priority of the Catholic Church.
Now, is this projected to become an annual event? This is the second annual.
It is the second annual, and I think it's going to continue because our ability to live the faith is deeply important. Religious liberty and the freedom of the church, the freedom of people of faith to live their faith fully in public life, it's very important to the health and vitality of a free society like ours. The reason that the founders enshrined religious liberty in our Constitution is not to isolate religious people from public life or to protect society from religious people, but it's to give the churches and religious people the freedom to promote virtue, to live their faith, and to build up the social capital necessary for a free society. So I see this as definitely continuing long into the future.
Okay, and so then why is there a separation of church and state, and what to you does that really mean?
Well, the separation of church and state comes from a term used in Thomas Jefferson's letter to the Danbury Baptists, in which he described a wall of separation. But the wall of separation was not meant to protect society from religious people. There's a legitimate separation of church and state because they have unique functions. What it's really about, and we can see this in Jefferson's subsequent letter to the New Orleans Ursuline Convent, was to keep the state out of the business of the church, so the church and church-related institutions, such as the Ursuline Sisters in New Orleans, could go about their business, providing charitable and educational services, building up, like I said, that social capital that's necessary to foster virtue in a free society.
Now, you have some activities coming up during this Fortnight for Freedom.
We have lots of activities. Last year, we put on a number of events. This year, we have still a number of events, which you can find either on the Archdiocese website or the website of the Minnesota Catholic Conference at mncc.org. Number of speaking events throughout the state. There's also Holy Hour and Mass for Religious Liberty. I know here in the Archdiocese, I know that's happening in other dioceses around the state as well. And there's also going to be a postcard campaign to promote the Federal Health Care Conscience Rights Act, H.R. 940, that's going to be launched, I believe, in 2 weeks.
Now, we're going to be only about a month away from the effective date of the HHS mandate.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about what we should be doing as Catholics to prepare for that date.
Well, the HHS mandate has the potential, and what it is, it's a requirement by the federal government that most health insurance plans cover what they call preventive services, meaning abortion, contraception, some forms of abortion-related drugs, sterilization, contraception, preventive pregnancy, birth control and things like that, education. And so this is obviously troubling for a number of Catholic institutions that are required to abide by this mandate, such as hospitals, schools, charities, et cetera, but also Catholic business owners. And there have been a number of lawsuits filed by each entity, each type of entity, whether it's dioceses, charities, business owners, against this HHS mandate. It was hoped that either the administration would remove this mandate or it would lose enough court cases that it would pull back. And unfortunately, although there's great progress being made in the courts, the administration still hasn't relented. And as you said, that's scheduled to go into effect August 1st. I think we need to keep raising our voice in opposition to this. There's been hundreds of thousands of comments submitted to the Federal Department of Health and Human Services. That's been fantastic. Unfortunately, the administration still hasn't relented. Those court cases are going forward. But there's really an opportunity to still fight this through Congress, through the Federal Health Care Conscience Rights Act, H.R. 940. And you can find action alerts related to that on both the USCCB website, but also the website of the Minnesota Catholic Conference.
Let me ask you your opinion about a little semantics thing that some of us have noticed in the news, and that is the difference between freedom of religion and what some members of the administration have referred to as freedom of worship.
That's correct, and I think that's it's an important semantic twist, but it's to redefine what constitutes religious liberty. Religious
right.
liberty is never just praying within the four walls of the church, but being able to live that faith publicly, like we were talking about the Acts of the Apostles.
Right.
Religious liberty encompasses the freedom to worship, but also the freedom of the church to go about its business and govern itself. You know, in many European countries, it used to be the case that the government would appoint the bishops. We take for granted some of these things here in the United States. The breadth of freedom the church has to govern its own affairs, and we can't take that for granted. So religious liberty means more than just freedom to worship. It means freedom of the church, but it also means the ability to live conduct rooted in conviction, performing the works of mercy, living your faith in the business world, et cetera, and that's the full meaning of the free exercise of religion.
And tell us again what we can do as local Catholics. I know you mentioned a couple action sites on a website that we can do to get involved in this and to feel like we're doing our part.
Well, I think the media has really just failed to cover this issue by and large, and so we need to find alternative sources of media and educate ourselves fully on this issue. Catholic media is, of course, a great resource. A number of fantastic books and pamphlets have been written by bishops and theologians and other folks, constitutional scholars on this issue. So we really need to inform ourselves and get the facts straight about the number of real challenges to religious liberty in our provision of social services, etc. And I think one of the ways we can do that, of course, is accessing different forms of media, but also, you know, registering for things like the Minnesota Catholic Conference Advocacy Network, which gives people periodic updates on significant pieces of legislation at the federal and state level and gives people an opportunity to act. Sometimes we feel as though we can't make a difference, but especially at the state level, you really can, and laws are made by the people who show up. So a note to a legislator encouraging them to support conscience protections and for people of faith is very, very important. So again, that can be found at the Minnesota Catholic Conference website at mncc.org. We also need citizen journalists, people to just keep track of what's going on in their local communities and blogging about it, just, again, creating alternative informational mechanisms to keep their legislators accountable. I bet most of a big chunk of our listeners don't even know who their state legislator is.
How
can we inform ourselves and inform them about what's important if we don't even know who they are? So we really need citizen journalists. That could even happen at the parish level, informing people about the important issues, who their legislators are, what their legislators are doing with regard to these issues of religious liberty, and then how they can act. You know, have a town hall at a parish with a local legislator and ask them about these questions.
Those I like that term, citizen journalists. That's something I haven't heard before, but I know exactly what it means.
Yeah, that's something that people think, oh, I want to start a national newspaper. Well, all politics starts at the local level, and you're not going to start. You don't have the money to start a national newspaper, quite honestly, but what you can do in the information age is start blogs, start newsletters, and this makes a huge, huge difference. And people just don't think about that. They think they have to go big or go home, but really it's starting small and doing some of these little things that can make a huge, huge difference.
And what about the power of simple prayer, praying for these things, I think, is something that everybody can do anytime they want.
That's right. No matter your age, your vocation, living situation, everyone can engage and participate in prayer efforts and lift up this issue in prayer and help us revitalize this important first freedom in American society.
Fortnight for Freedom, going on now through July 4th. Jason Adkins, Executive Director of the Minnesota Catholic Conference, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you both. Have a blessed day.
You too.
Here are the details on the local Fortnite for Freedom events. If you're listening on Friday, you still have time to make plans to attend the Freedom Forum Saturday, June 22nd, 8 a.m. to noon at St. Peter in Mendota. Mass at 8 a.m., followed by the program beginning at 8:30. Jason Adkins will be among the nationally known speakers at the forum. The event is free. Free will offerings will be gladly accepted.
And plan to attend Mass, followed by a holy hour for life, marriage, and liberty. This takes place on Saturday, June 29th at 7 p.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul on the Feast of St. Peter and St. Paul. Archbishop Nienstedt will preside, and you can find out more about these local events and about the Fortnight for Freedom in general at our show page at rediscover-faith.org. Just click on radio in the top navigation bar.
Every week on the Rediscover Hour, we catch up with a few local Catholics and ask them a question.
That's right. And recently, we spoke with a few of the 47 graduates of Cristo Rey Jesuit High School in Minneapolis and asked them, how has Catholic school prepared you for life? And here's how they responded.
Hi, my name is Jessica Niola Lazo, and I'm from Holy Rosary Santo Rosario Church. Catholic school has prepared me for life. I mean, the biggest thing is basically serving others, I guess, because before, I mean, I was in a youth group and I did community service and things like that, but once I came to Catholic school, it was like a new thing. I was more involved in my faith, and because of that, I wanted to help others in my community, not just in where I go to church, mm-hmm. but like all over the city. Service is really a big part for what a Catholic school is to me.
Hi, my name is Saul Hernandez. I am a Cristo Rey Jesuit High School graduate. So one of the things about going to a Catholic-based school is they really teach you how to live your life in a faith-based manner. So a lot of the decisions I make in life are ultimately affected by my faith.
Hi, my name is Victor Mendoza. My parish is the Basilica of St. Mary's. Catholic school has helped me to become a better man for myself, better overall person. And to me, it has helped me with my education and going to Jesuit school.
Hi, my name is Michelle Flores Monteroses, and I go to Ascension. Well, all my, you know, throughout education, I've been through Catholic Church, you know, schools, and it's prepared me because now, like, I got so inspired that I teach younger kids. I'm a Sunday school teacher, so, and I've been doing it already for 4 years, and it's like, I don't know, like something I didn't imagine I was going to be able to do, but it just came to me and I'm like, you know, this feels right. And I like teaching younger kids.
I am Jasmine Taylor from Cristo Rey Jesuit High School. I think Catholic school has prepared me for life because of the spirit that they give us, the hope that they give us. So we learn kind of how to build our faith more. And they really just guide us in a spiritual direction. So I believe that that can really influence us in the long run when we're spiritual and when we've gone to a Catholic school. It will help us long term.
Well, that's a pretty exciting note regarding that high school class at Cristo Rey. All 47 graduates have been accepted into college.
That's amazing.
Yeah, this is the second year that all Cristo Rey grads are going on to college, and many graduates are the first in their families to go on to higher education.
That's a real sign of the success of the school itself. Now, do you have an idea for a question to ask fellow Catholics here on the Rediscover Hour? If so, we want to hear about it. There are lots of ways to reach us. Email us at therediscoverhour@archspm.org, or go and click on the radio button in the top navigation bar at rediscover-faith.org. Reach us through our show page, or you can contact us through the Relevant Radio site, relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover.
And coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, in Answering the Call, find out about an ongoing local opportunity for men to deepen their faith in their personal relationship with Jesus Christ and find friendship with fellow Catholic men.
And in No Ordinary Conversation, Archbishop Nienstedt shares what's on his summer reading list. If you're looking for some good Catholic books, you'll want to hear his suggestions. It's all ahead on the Rediscover Hour. We'll be right back.
Month after month, week after week, your furnace and central air conditioner work hard to keep you and your family comfortable day after day. The newer systems are working more efficiently, but they still deserve a checkup at least once a year. When was your last air conditioner tune-up? If your system hasn't been recharged or needs to be updated to a more efficient unit, you could be paying up to twice as much as you need to for energy every month.
I'm Justin from Allen Mechanical. The homes I visit every day are saving money and energy with tune-ups and new, more efficient heating and cooling systems. You maybe have heard that the new heating and cooling systems pay for themselves. It's true now more than ever with energy costs rising. Call me and update or tune up your system and be ready for the summer's heat.
L&L Mechanical, helping Relevant Radio listeners save money and energy from their hard-working furnace and air conditioner. Fast, reliable, and really good at what they do for your home's comfort. Call L&L Mechanical, 651-331-6135, 651-331-6135, or relevantradio.com, keyword cool.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sadek. In today's Answering the Call, we talk with two organizers from Catholic Man Night, a group dedicated to helping men build a personal relationship and friendship with Jesus Christ and imitating him in their daily lives.
I love the name Catholic Man Night. It is what it is. It's just a man night for Catholic men. And it was started in 2010 by two local men who are sitting here with us today who wanted to reach out to Catholic men who were not strongly engaged in the faith.
Matthew Christoph and Phil Roser join us this morning with more about Catholic Man Night and how local Catholic men can get involved. Good morning, Matthew and Phil.
Good morning.
Happy to have you here. I've got to ask you, does Catholic Man Night involve some power tools and football?
No power tools.
Aww,
but
steak?
A steak
beer?
And a beer.
All right. Well, first of all, tell us what moved you to organize something like Catholic Man Night?
Well, it all started around the kitchen table at the rectory at the cathedral. We were there for a fundraiser event with Bishop Pichet. We had a lively discussion, and basically we asked the bishop, why are so many Catholic men casual with their faith? And the bishop was, Matt, like in 2 seconds, he looked us all in the eye and said, because a lot of Catholic men do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So we kind of threw
That pretty well gets down to the basics, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it?
So we kind of threw the gauntlet out, and we took it from there, and out came Catholic Man Night.
Very cool.
So tell us what Catholic Man Night is all about.
Well, at the heart of it, and the bishop's insight is that men don't know Jesus Christ. The whole event, and these events are parish-based, are about meeting Jesus. And we do that with our hearts and with our heads. And so each Catholic Man Night, there's a topic. For example, the physical Jesus Christ or Jesus Christ, Divine Savior. And we start with an hour of adoration. And at that hour of adoration—
That's an amazing way to start,
our thought is that if one man shows up for adoration, everything that the Holy Spirit is moving us to do is fulfilled. And
yep.
We don't make a big deal out of numbers, but the idea is that if you sit in adoration of our Lord, things are going to happen. So we start with an hour of adoration. There's a host priest and a group of men within a parish that organize this. And then we have a guest priest. And the guest priest gives a short talk on that particular aspect of Jesus Christ, say it's Divine Savior. And we've been blessed. Archbishop Neinstead, Bishop Ishay, Father Bear, Monsignor Callaghan, Father Michael Becker, many of them have participated in this. During that hour of adoration, then, there's also confession. And there's nothing like seeing a row of 50 or 60 men in line for confession.
Right? Yeah.
Once we're done that, we break for dinner. We have a manly feast.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
I told him I'm dressing up like with a mustache and sneaking in. I'm going to hide my belly and come on in because it sounds
we'll
like a good
in,
deal
Corey.
For me.
it's a major feast.
Okay.
And we then, the men gather together, and then after the food is done, we start the discussion. And we have a short catechesis usually on the topic, and then we open it up and have men talk about the topic. And that's a powerful thing for a couple reasons. First of all, within our faith, we have many men that are well catechized, and they know a lot.
Yeah.
And they can add to the conversation. But the other powerful thing is we're called in the new evangelization to evangelize. And most of us don't know how to do it.
Right, are uncomfortable.
And you're uncomfortable. So when you see another man get up and witness and proclaim their faith in Christ, you're strengthened. And I think
Absolutely.
That's one of the powerful things.
Now, this is not the argument of the month club.
Different.
No, it's not.
but are there some good questions that come up in some of those discussions?
Oh, there are a wide range of questions. And one of the benefits of not only having a firm catechesis, and we have it here, and you can find this on our website, CatholicMandate.com, we develop a 2-page catechesis on the topic. And it's typically got 30 to 50 references into the Bible and the Scripture and the Catechism, because part of what we have to do in the new evangelization is draw people back to Scripture
Sure.
and back to the Catechism. So they can go and look and get a lot of those questions answered. And part of the thing that makes this so powerful is that we rely on our priests. We look to our priests to lead us.
Right.
So we always have multiple priests there who, when one of us, one of the founders flounder.
Might not know the answer.
Founders flounder.
You look to him and point, you go,
yeah,
this
you
is
go,
your area.
You go, Father, you're up.
Right.
That's just one other thing I'd like to add. This is not a Phil and Matt show, per se.
Right.
We have actually a group of priests that were part of the founding, as well as a broad group of men. We just happen to be the two that were...
You're in the organizers.
Well, we're part of the organizers.
Yeah, okay. Well, don't you think that in a situation like this, four guys, there's a lot more comfort in raising a question than in a mixed group, and it's just what it is.
I agree, and I think the reason that this has been successful is this formula is so simple, Paul.
Yeah.
You know, we have adoration, confession, we have a nice meal, and we have some fellowship.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we gave a lot of thought to this about, you know, what do we want to add? What do we don't want to add? And I think the reason this has been successful, again, is the formula is so simple. Matt will share some of the statistics in a second, but it's reproducible. The Knights at every parish have been incredibly supportive.
Right. I bet that's a great partnership
Knights
with them.
Knights of Columbus
yeah.
is a wonderful organization.
And they're incredibly good with the logistics. And wherever we've had, obviously, the Knights' involvement, the Knights have gone extremely, been very successful.
How often does this happen?
We are doing this right now. They're at least 2 a month.
Oh, fantastic.
And where are they now? I mean,
they're mostly in the western suburbs.
Okay.
We are expanding into Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
We've done about 50 events so far. We've just surpassed about 3,000 hours of adoration. And,
wow.
You know, that's a lot of men sitting in adoration.
Deal.
Yeah.
You know, the formula, it's funny how things work. You know, I remember we went to... Father Michael Becker, who is at St. John Vianney, the rector of St. John Vianney, and we explained what we were doing early on. He goes, oh, well, that's just like Acts 2:42. And so there's really nothing new in this. This is exactly what the early apostles
yeah.
did and what we're all called to do, to gather, to learn about Christ in fellowship, in sacrament, and in prayer. And that's why it works.
And then to spread the word. In your own way?
You have a raffle at each event, don't you?
Well, yeah. It's kind of funny because some of the women, we've actually, and we'll get to this, I'm sure, in a minute, but we've started a women's man night, so to speak, and asked why you do a raffle. And the thing was, well, it can't be a Catholic event if you don't have a raffle.
Absolutely.
But the real purpose is through the new evangelization, we're called to draw closer to Christ in Scripture and in the Catechism. And those are the things that we give out. We
right.
give out tools to help you draw closer to Scripture. We always give out a Ignatian New Catholic Study Bible, which we think is a fantastic tool that every
it is, yeah.
Catholic should have in their home.
Yeah.
Well, can you share with us some stories or a story of a man becoming reengaged? You have one off the top of your head?
Gosh, there's been a few. Well, I think the one that comes to mind, Matt, you and I have spoken about it a few man nights ago. We were kind of cleaning up, and at the end, a gentleman approached Matt and shared with him that it had been 50 years since he had gone to confession.
Oh, wow. I knew you were going to say that.
And Matt and I have prayed about this, thought about it. You know, if that one man was the only person that had come that evening to a Catholic man night,
then
I would have said it was a success.
Job.
Absolutely.
Right.
I want to also talk about the new evangelization
Please.
For a minute.
Sure.
We're Most of us are chicken when it comes to expressing our faith.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
This man was invited by another man.
Awesome.
Come have a meal.
That's all it took.
Come here. And it's all it took. And we just need to make the invitation to our, you know, we don't have to go out and convert people
right,
that aren't Catholic.
Right.
We need to talk to
keep
those
it
many.
Simple.
Right. Keep it simple and invite people you know. It's not a, and they'll thank you for it.
Well, and tell us a little bit about when the next Man Night, Catholic Man Night, is coming up.
The next Man Night is June 28th, next Friday at 6:30, and they always go from 6:30 to about 9. And we're honored to have a fantastic return speaker, Monsignor Aloysius Callahan.
He's great.
Yeah. It's at the Church of Saints Peter and Paul in Loretto.
And do people just show up, or do you have to register, or how does a man get involved?
We keep it really simple. Just show
Again,
up. Show
simple up. Is good for
the,
men.
The other thing that makes this, I think, very portable is that there's no cost to it.
Right.
We
nice.
Do a free will offering. As long as you don't get extravagant on the food, you basically pay for the event and actually throw some money back into the parish. This is a parish-based event, and men who and priests who want to draw men to our Lord, this is one way you can do it.
Now, one of the things my wife always tells me is that the men's gatherings are much more fun than the women's gatherings. So tell me,
they have the best
what
food.
Do you have planned for the women?
Tell me all about it.
Well, you know, it's really funny because we started doing these Catholic Man Nights, and a lot of women were saying, well, what's going, you know, why don't we have
this?
Something like
right.
this? So we actually responded to that, and actually Father Gallus at St. Peter and Paul in Loretto, and also Father Richards up at St. Michael's in St. Michael, said, we want to start something for women. We follow the exact same format, but we call it Women Adoring Jesus. And the food's a little different.
I know. I'm sure it's salads or something.
It's, you know, it's dainty.
It's
know?
Frou-frou food.
Little tea sandwiches.
No.
but women, just as all people, right, all men, women, they all have a love and need for Jesus Christ in their life. And I know a lot of women listen to this program and listen to this. And I would say, again, this idea of the new evangelization, you don't have to go out and evangelize somebody you don't know. Start by inviting your husband or your brother or your uncle
right.
or your father to go to a Catholic Man Night.
And so the Women's Night, is there information on your website about that? Or
We can get information to people about it. It's fairly
it's just
new
in the works.
Still. Yeah, we're going to be
okay.
launching a website here, but... you know,
Matthew Christoph and Phil Roser, thank you so much for joining us this morning and filling us in a little bit on what's coming up for the guys.
It's fun to have you in the studio, too. Thanks for making the drive.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity. We appreciate it.
Here are the details again on the next Catholic Man Night, Friday, June 28th, 6:30 to 9 p.m. at the Church of Saints Peter and Paul in Loretto. The presenter, Monsignor Aloysius Callahan, rector of the St. Paul Seminary. Topic, Jesus Christ, Divine Judge. Dinner is included. Free will offerings are gratefully accepted.
And a reminder, if there's a new evangelization-related topic you'd like to hear more about on the Rediscover Hour, please let us know. Click on Show Ideas on the lower right side of our show page at rediscover-faith.org. Just click on Radio in the top navigation bar. Or email us directly at therediscoverhour@archspm.org. That's therediscoverhour@archspm.org.
And coming up on the Rediscover Hour, grab a pen. Archbishop Neinstadt is sharing his summer reading list. You'll want to jot down the names of some of the books he's planning to peruse.
Plus, a look at local Catholic events happening around town when we come right back.
We're modern roadways, all blacktop, more than 4 or 5 years old, will show considerable deterioration. The culprit? Sun and air. Liquid asphalt, the glue that holds the blacktop together, is an organic substance and evaporates over time and has to be replaced. You will see holes in the surface and your blacktop will get hard, brittle, crack, and break up. The most cost-effective way to correct and protect against further deterioration is a hot chip seal. We apply hot liquid asphalt that replaces 85% of the original oil and cover it with 3/16 gray granite chips from St. Cloud. A good seal coat will last 5 to 7 years. Now the rest of the story. A $100 discount to any customer who gives us the go-ahead on an estimate of $1,000 or more and identifies themselves as a relevant radio listener. Call for a free estimate, Modern Roadways, 763-545-1777.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Well, here's something interesting in the news this week, and it's all over the news. It's Pope Francis in his first 100 days.
That's often thought of as the romance period for anybody who's in a new position,
right,
a new
transition
office.
Period. But he has kind of taken, you know, charge, and of course everyone's saying this. He's doing things his own way, leading by example and showing us in the most authentic way what it's like to be Christ-like. And I loved that in one of the articles I read, someone said he's not your grandmother's pope.
Nope, he sure isn't. One of the things I love about him and I find so fascinating, I figure he must drive his handlers crazy, the people who who are around him, who help to get him to where he's supposed
organize.
To be and who write some of his speeches and so forth. He was talking to some kids at a high school a few days ago, and he said, you know, I think I'm going to ditch this 1,250-word speech. If I just read that to you, it would be a tad boring. I'll just hit the high points and then open
we'll
it
chat.
Up to questions.
Right, right.
Would you like that? And, of course, the kids went wild with enthusiasm.
He's so flexible and does things kind of off the cuff, I guess. And one of the things I read from RomeReports.com, they were talking about key points that define Pope Francis in his first 100 days. One of them was closeness, that he, you know, lives among the people. We all hear about how he chose to live in a different place than where the other popes have lived. It's another one was freedom, talking about church, the outskirts, how his interest for those in need and for those living on the outskirts of society are at the utmost importance to him, and reforming the curia. And to a more effective
That's a
model.
Big one. Yeah.
Right. So he's doing great things, but he's also, I think they talked about taking his time as far as the more temporal issues go. He's kind of making his mark and doing his thing first, making
He wants to get it done right rather than
then,
fast.
Right, right. And that's important. So
yep.
We love him.
Well, happy 100 days, Pope Francis. One of the very best ways to grow in the faith is to make a commitment to reading good books about the faith.
Exactly. And in today's No Ordinary Conversation, Archbishop Nienstedt talks with Father John Paul Erickson about what he's reading this summer. It might give you a few ideas for what you could read in the coming months.
Archbishop, this coming summer, many individuals will be going to their cabin and bringing along with them, I'm assuming, a small library of books, please God. And Archbishop, I wonder, in your own life, what will you be reading this summer? I'm hopeful that the summer will be a little bit quieter than the academic year. What will be on your bedstand or by your bookstand this summer?
Well, one of the things would be the book that's being recommended for our Rediscover program in the Catholic Book Club. As you know, we gave out 186,000 copies of Rediscovering Catholicism by Matthew Kelly this
yes,
past
indeed.
Year. And the team that has been working on the Rediscover Initiative have recommended A Time for God.
Okay.
I haven't had a chance to review it, so I'm looking forward to delving in and using that. I did, after Christmas, go back and reread Rediscovering Catholicism because I was hoping that I might be able to take some of the real keen insights there and work them into my homilies as I go around the archdiocese and support the Rediscover Initiative. But the other one that I would say, I had a signed copy from my friend George Weigel, who just wrote a book on evangelical Catholicism, the deep reform
yes.
in the 21st century church. And I've had another friend who's had the opportunity to read this and recommended it to me very highly. So that would be another text that I would like to delve into. A friend of mine, a priest out in Boston Archdiocese, had recommended to me this little book, How to Defend the Faith Without Raising Your Voice.
That's a great title.
And I think it is an intriguing
title.
I'd be
grateful for notes on that, Archbishop, actually, when you're done.
And I think particularly because, you know, we've just been through the whole debate on marriage. And I think in looking at how polarized our country is, and oftentimes that same polarization typifies our church as well, that to find ways to respond to people who disagree with you in a civil and logical and calm manner would be very insightful. So I'm looking forward to getting that. That's how to defend the faith without raising your voice.
Very good.
The other two books I want to look at would be What is Marriage? Woman and Man, A Defense, by Robert George from the National Association on Marriage. He and two of his students apparently have put this new book together, and I've heard some very fine positive things about it, so I'm looking forward to that. And then, although I've read a number of the things he's written before, one of our priests recommended to me At the Heart of the Gospel, Reclaiming the Body for the New Evangelization by Christopher West. It was one of our newly ordained priests, actually, who's been using this book in his preparation of married couples.
Oh, marvelous.
In his parish. And he told me that it's a great conversation starter. So I'm looking forward to doing that.
Well, that's marvelous, Archbishop. I wish you leisure this summer and rejuvenation through the reading of these texts, and I'll be hoping to get some notes from How to Defend the Faith Without Raising Your Voice. I need that myself. So thank you again, Archbishop.
You're very welcome.
And again, those books that Archbishop mentioned are The Time for God by Father Jacques Philippe, and that's the recommended reading right now from the Rediscover team.
I've got to get that. That's available also as an ebook. It looks fascinating.
Well,
it's a prayer guide, isn't it?
Yeah, they have a study guide that goes along with it. It's kind of the second installment for this Rediscover Catholic Book Clubs that we did initially.
Mm-hmm.
And then Evangelical Catholicism by George Weigel.
I'm still reading it.
You're reading that one, I know.
It's amazing stuff. And George, of course, is going to be one of the speakers at the Rediscover Catholic
That's
Celebration
right.
in October. Look forward to hearing him talk about this because he says that we're on the precipice of something huge,
mm-hmm.
and have been since Leo the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
And I think had he written Evangelical Catholicism just a touch later after Pope Francis was elected, he would have said, "Okay, we're ready.
Now
let's jump off the cliff now."
Right. All right, I got to get that one too. And another one, How to Defend the Faith Without Raising Your Voice by Austin Ivory.
Need to hear Father Erickson's review on that,
right.
and the Archbishop's review as well.
And let's see, What is Marriage by Robert George, Sharif Girgis, and Ryan T. Anderson.
Very timely.
Exactly, I was just going to say that. And the last one is At the Heart of the Gospel, Reclaiming the Body for the New Evangelization by Christopher West.
And Christopher is just fine.
Read other things about him?
I haven't read his work, but I've talked to him several times.
Cool.
And he's just a fun guy to visit with. So if he writes at all like he speaks, it'll be a fun read and a fascinating and engaging and knowledgeable read as well.
I've got a lot on my list to
you
read.
You do? Well, you hear Archbishop Neinstedt regularly here on the Rediscover Hour in our No Ordinary Conversation segment. And if you have an idea for a No Ordinary Conversation topic, contact us through our show page, rediscover-faith.org. Click on radio in the top navigation bar or email us directly at therediscoverhour@archspm.org. That's the Rediscover Hour at archspm.org.
Okay, here's a quick look at some great Catholic events taking place locally. First, as we mentioned a little earlier in the show, the next Catholic Man Night takes place on Friday, June 28th at Saints Peter and Paul in Loretto. And the night starts at 6:30 and ends by 9. Dinner is provided and a free will offering is gladly accepted to help defray hospitality costs. And the topic of the June 28th talk is Jesus Christ, Divine Judge, presented by the rector of St. Paul Seminary, Monsignor Callahan. And if you're not familiar with the Catholic Man Night, here's a quick description of what they are all about. Catholic Man Night helps 21st century men meet Jesus through solid Catholic teaching presented in a way that makes sense to men. They hold monthly meetings at Northwest Metro Area parishes, and the Catholic Man Night materials are available online at their website, catholicmannight.com, and through parish-based Catholic Man Nights. Again, the next event takes place at Saints Peter and Paul Parish in Loretto on Friday, June 28th at 6:30 p.m.
Also on June 28th, all Catholics of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis are strongly encouraged to participate in a special day of prayer and fasting as a continued sign of our commitment to living out and proclaiming the truth and goodness of God's plan for marriage. As a way of marking this day, all Catholics within the local church are encouraged to engage in deliberate acts of charity and to abstain from consuming meat. In addition, those who are able to do so are encouraged to fast. During the special day of prayer and fasting, all Catholics are encouraged to deliberately pray for our state and for our country and for a renewal of respect and understanding of the great mystery and gift that is marriage. Time spent before the Blessed Sacrament is specially encouraged.
And finally, in the first half of our show today, we mentioned some of the local events taking place as part of the Fortnight for Freedom. Here are the details on the Mass and Holy Hour for Life, Marriage, and Liberty on Saturday, June 29th. The Mass begins at 7 p.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul, and the Holy Hour immediately follows. Archbishop Nienstedt will preside, and again, the Mass and the Holy Hour for Life, Marriage, and Liberty take place beginning at 7 p.m. on Saturday, June 29th, which is the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul. For more information on any of the events we've mentioned today on the Rediscover Hour, please visit our The Rediscover Hour show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org and click on radio in the top navigation bar.
Well, what's up next week?
Let's see here. We have, in Answering the Call, we'll talk with author and founder and webmaster of CatholicMom.com. Find out how she is harnessing technology to support the vocation and faith life of Catholic moms across the country.
Archbishop Nienstedt talks about the Summer Share Project. Do you have share cards in your wallet? Find out why you should have a couple of cards within reach this summer.
Plus, we'll check in with Joe Towalski of the Catholic Spirit for the latest Catholic news around our area.
Come back for all this and a whole lot more. The Rediscover Hour, Fridays at 9 a.m., Saturdays at 6 p.m., Sundays at 9 a.m., and in the Rediscover Archive on the web at relevantradio.com. All right here on Relevant Radio. We'll see you next week.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio.